The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. In 1976, Soyuz 21 lifted off from the Soviet Union, carrying the first crew bound for the space station Salyut 5. But their stay was later cut short by an emergency, forcing them to return to Earth ahead of schedule. In 1990, hoping to capitalize on the public's interest in the Voyager 2 encounter at Neptune nearly a year earlier, a team of scientists and engineers proposed using technology similar to Voyager to build a spacecraft to send to Pluto. Their plan called for a series of gravity assist maneuvers that would get the 350-kilogram space probe to what was then considered the outermost planet in 2015. NASA rejected that plan, however. Ironically, one of the scientists behind the proposal was Alan Stern, who would go on to head up the New Horizons mission, which eventually sent a spacecraft to Pluto, where it arrived in, you guessed it, 2015. In 2003, Earth waved its arms around and said, "Hey, look at me!" The Eupatoria planetary radar was used to broadcast a message to five carefully selected nearby stars. The message will arrive at those far-flung solar systems between 2036 and 2049. Come on up and see us sometime. In 2016, it was time to kick the tires on a long ride to the International Space Station. A new station crew took 2 days to reach the ISS, but they spent that time putting their new uprated Soyuz MS-1 spacecraft through its paces. X-Men artist John Byrne was born today in 1950. In 1987, the long arm of the law extended its reach into space as the BBC premiered its short-lived new science fiction police drama, Star Cops.
"I want you to run a AAA personnel base data check on this and every other station."
"All personnel?"
"No exceptions. I want to know if anyone has any connection with any corporation involved in spacesuit technology or sensitive strategic material. Also look for connections with extreme right-wing political groups. And anyone in the purchasing agencies. Now, that's any connection, however tenuous."
"Well, isn't that Clytemnestra's Strasbourg?"
"Well, possibly. I also want to know where everyone was at the time of each death, let's say over the last 12 months."
"Why, the computer's done that already. It's a totally routine procedure."
"No, the computer did what it always does. Treated each death individually."
"Yeah.
But it asked where everyone was on the station where the death occurred. It didn't ask where everyone else was on every other station."
"Yeah, but you can't just walk from one station to another."
"Well, there's plenty of orbit vehicles around. Are you telling me they're never used unofficially?"
"Oh, but they're easily spotted now."
"I want you to put the investigation readouts on the StarCop consoles on all stations."
Created by former Blake 7 script editor Chris Boucher, StarCops was an innovative attempt at a hard-edged cop show set in space. But friction between Boucher and the producer assigned to the series by the BBC led him to cancel his own show before it could reach a second season. Among the decisions Boucher questioned was the theme song by Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues.
"No, no, no, reach across the stars."
In 1994, David Warner boarded Babylon 5 in his quest for the Holy Grail.
"I sent information packets ahead to the ambassadors to facilitate my mission when I arrived."
"Which is?"
"I am seeking the sacred vessel of regeneration, known also as the Cup of the Goddess, or by its more common name, the Holy Grail."
"The Holy Grail? As in King Arthur, the Last Supper?"
"It has many names, but only one promise. The regeneration and salvation of humankind. My order has been searching for the Grail for millennia. Since there's nowhere else left on Earth to search, I've taken the search outward to other worlds.
And in 2009, Torchwood was mystified as a strange force took control of the Children of Earth. An intense miniseries played out over 5 consecutive days on BBC One. But in 2016, you could bet that most of the Children of Earth were suddenly outside in the real world, chasing Pokémon. The mobile phone game Pokémon Go launched on this day in 2016, and suddenly the hunt for virtual creatures was a real physical activity. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.